keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct, it's on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let it low, low through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, know through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind. Oh no, it's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in, full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Greetings, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media. Happy Friday. It's host LaVon live tonight. It is Friday. It's January 9th. Happy New Year, you guys. Excited to be back. We have a lot more days now. Can you believe it? It's awesome. Thanks for being with me on Friday. I know you have nothing better to do than to listen to me rant about random stuff and things. Fridays are a little different. I like to talk about all sorts of things. I call the show Objective Perspective because I'm an objective being and I share with you my perspective. I'm joined tonight by a lovely Miss Erin.
Hello.
Say hi, Erin.
Hello, everybody.
Erin's my soul sister. Like, for real.
For real, for real.
Super for real. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about relationships tonight. Uh-huh. We only share what we have. So, I've been having a lot of epiphanies in regards to relationships, especially in the manner in which I create them to learn subconsciously for my own experience and growth. And I've always believed, for a very long time, I've had this perception that I'm only a collection of moments. Like, essentially, you're only a little piece, or you are a little piece, a montage, if you will, of all the people and all the experiences you've ever had. The question is, what are you doing with those experiences? How are they letting them affect you and shape you and mold you and create you? And do you have the ability to be more conscious of it so that you can further develop yourself and not hinder? Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to be my whole thing this year and for a while now, but I'm sticking to it, is I want to be a human being, not a human doing. Okay?
Right.
Let's think about that for a second. Like, you are a human being, but you spend most of your time doing. I want to be.
Yeah.
I just want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, Erin, since we're sharing what we have, and I just shared with everyone like my idea of what I essentially think I am and what everybody else is as well, and how we all affect each other, and we should be more conscious of it. Like, how do you apply that to your life, if at all?
Well, I completely agree. I feel like we are a montage. We're a becoming of all our experiences. But we, as human beings, we live in a constant state of now. And honestly, like, in a constant state of now, like, we we don't want to be stuck in our past. You know, we don't want to be stuck in our past, and we don't want to be living in our future and thinking about, you know, this idea of who we have to become, putting ourselves on a pedestal. You know, we have to embrace our day-to-day involvements, and we have to really experience ourselves on a day-to-day level and think, you know, who are we? Who are we spending our time with? Who are we growing with and loving with? And what is that love giving back to us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, when we're really, you know, when we're really defining ourselves, like you're saying, you know, we are a culmination of the people we're around. Like, mm-hmm. when the experiences that we're with create who we are, because that's what we base our life off of. That's who we create the experience mm-hmm. with. So we can either create our experiences in a manner that's very positive and uplifting,
inspiring,
and,
motivational,
you know, truly, truly, and, you know, having a relationship needs to help you embrace exactly who you are as your true self. And that person needs to be a backboard and a mirror to represent, you know, the things that your soul is asking you to uncover and create. You know, these people, you want people around you that help you dissolve ego traps, not help you create them, you know.
And how to determine, like, when you're involved in one, what is an ego trap? Like,
right. You know, you want to be on a journey with somebody who's on a journey. You know, your paths travel together. You don't have to travel the same path. And that's really important.
You can be parallel.
Yeah.
But how close is your line? Right. You know what I mean? Like, I love being parallel to people. I am parallel to so many people. It's unreal.
And how many times do your paths, like, absolutely cross in ways that send you in completely opposing directions, you know?
A lot.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. The question really is, you know, to me, is that person walking their path? Are they willing to inspire themselves and through that inspire you, you know?
But that's the thing is, like, who are you to say who's on their path? You're not. And I accept that as a human and as someone in control of my own experience solely. You know what I mean? Like, the only control over someone's life I have is what aspect of me do I show to them.
Right.
You know what I mean? I can't determine how they're going to feel about it.
Right.
But I can decide what kind of energy I create from my being towards their being.
Right.
And I'm conscious of that. And, like, sometimes this dragon woman, she's inside mm-hmm. of me. She's there, man. She's just, you know, she's quick, man. She's yeah. on it. And sometimes that bee comes out and I'm like, ooh. And I instantaneously am getting better at it, going, you know what? I apologize. That's my darkness coming out and I'm trying to tame it.
Do you consider that your ego?
That word, see, I have a problem with words. We're using different words for the same thing, synonyms.
Right.
What the ego is, I think, is like what other people call yin and yang, or like I'm salty and sweet. You know what I mean? Like, I right. like to say that I am a man woman. I am brilliant and insane. I right. am hot, cold. Like, I like to be on the fine line of all of the polarities that exist.
Yeah.
Like, that is my steez. That's where I exist. Like, in the singularity aspect, like, that's where I am. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Where everything's just flowing and moving and going and never stops. Like, that's where I exist. Like, imagine an infinity symbol. Where all the points intersect, that's where Levon lives.
Right.
That's where I am. And this ego is when I flow from one side to the other. I'm no longer in the center. I'm traveling in between the two. Like,
okay, yeah.
That's how I think of myself. Like, I am not this good or this bad. I'm off equilibrium at times.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I feel like I'm not in my body. Or I tell people, I'm like, you know what? I'm really not myself today. And you hear people say, I'm not myself. And I say, I'm not inside this vessel today. I don't know where I am. I'm on zombie mode. Yeah. A zombie is a mommy who needs some Z's. Like, she's deprived of Z's. So yeah. I've been a zombie for weeks. I apologize, friends. I've been away. But back in action. Like,
back in action, dude.
You gotta... I stress, like, I'm one who has come to a place in her life and is comfortable with certain notions to such an extent that I feel an obligation to perpetuate them. So people often come to me with these questions and I seem to just kind of help them reflect. You know, we're all mirrors. I like people to bounce things off me. But I recently experienced such a amazing transformational, like, life smack in the face via manifestation that it knocked me off my damn chair. I'm in my chair right now, guys. I'm sitting in my chair.
She's on the edge, though.
I'm always on the edge.
On the edge.
But you're not going to believe, like, I'm literally inside of my laboratory. Like, I'm in the love lab.
The love lab.
Sitting at my desk. Stroking my desk. It's so amazing. I love my desk. Beautiful. Sorry, I have like a million. But across from me is my dream board. And right now it says revitalize, not materialize. There's like one sticker on it. Oh, no. And something else it says recognize that you are a product of nature. Your very existence depends on other products of nature. And then it says 528 hertz equals love. So that's my dream board. And I'm going to be adding so many things to it and building upon this manifestation. Because not only am I in a lab, but I'm in such a creative space, a sacred space, one that I've literally been building with my mind and my words and my intentions since I've been talking to my friends here, which is about a year now. Like a year ago, I said, hey, guys, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to get a big piece of land. Check that off the list. I'm going to have a laboratory. Check. I'm going to make my own hours. Check. I'm going to keep my job. Check. I'm going to start a business. Check. Like, I'm doing all of these things despite all the life changes.
Like, lots of life changes.
Lots of life changes. Everything's new.
Yeah.
New.
You're in a seed stage. I mean, looking at your dream board, you know,
exactly.
The first thing it says is revitalize, not
militarize. You know? Or it could say materialize. Either way.
I think that's what it's
like. I don't know. It's kind of blurry from here.
Like, it's beautiful, you know? It's the beginning.
And literally, I have seeds in the ground. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a purpose to build community. And the first time I ever met Erin was at the March Against Monsanto. And it was a beautiful day. March Against Monsanto was awesome. And I'm going through the crowd and I'm chanting. And there's this rockin' chick next to me. And she's like, rawr! And she was introduced to me by a mutual friend. It turns out she knows one of my friends. But she was just so stoked to be there. And it was amazing to see, like, that collectively, you know, with a group of people here in San Diego, we built this thing that became tangible, and then other people felt it, and then they were inspired. She came to my house after because she was just like, and I wanted to talk to her because she got it. You know, like, I saw her light bulb shining bright. I'm like, oh, I need to talk to this girl. She's so on my level. Imaginal cells, you know, we're all calling each other.
True. And we manifest each other.
We did. And the first time I met her, we said, we're going to live together. That was 7 months ago.
That was the first day we met.
We're going to build a community together. We knew it. Freaking knew it. And I said, okay, I've got a seed bank. We need to find a place. We need to do this. And here we are. And something beautiful about Erin and I is I've been telling you guys also that I want to abolish the traditional exchange of Federal Reserve notes. That's madness. That does not need to occur anymore. We do not need to rely on it's rudimentary and it's slavery.
Yeah, like we don't freaking
need it. Like, rocks equal money, guys.
Right.
Rocks equal money. Rocks equal chicken. Rocks equal potato. Like, it'll make sense. Trust me. But the point is we can create our own currency, and you and I have essentially done that with our time and our energy.
Absolutely.
Erin spends her time taking care of my children. As a result of that, Aaron has full access to the sanctuary, the love lab,
right,
the property, the garden. We are bartering, and we are being mutually beneficial. We are coexisting.
Right.
And it's a beautiful thing.
Creating conscious energy.
We are.
Space,
we are creating together a sacred healing space. And we're going to build the most amazing community. Like, we live in a unincorporated area of San Diego. And there's a huge organic gardening group here. Like, I specifically said, I want to live in Lemon Grove.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Lemon Grove. The soil is amazing. They claim to have the best climate on Earth. They're not lying. Mm-hmm. And everybody around here has huge property. Big, big land.
Right.
Or big opportunity to cultivate this land. So it's just immense. Like, the lady who lives next door to me owns this whole block. Like, have you seen her yard?
No, I'd love to.
It goes from right here next to us, yeah, all the way to the end of the street.
Wow.
So if I can inspire her, like, that could change this whole town.
Yeah, just getting access to one more garden, you know, increasing our space
exactly
that much more.
And the owner of the property, there's like 8 or 9 houses on the property. He is so excited about us growing food. I'm going to pay for this house and food. I'm not going to give any more money for this house. Like, seriously, that's my new goal. I just made it happen. Like,
I
want to be able to pay my rent in food. And I want to be able to have so much food that I go, hey, can I just pay my neighbor's rent too? Hey, can I pay her rent? Hey, can I, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to just, it's going to revolutionize things.
Seriously.
Why not? Who says we have to rely on a dollar? Like, have you heard of these monkey experiments?
Mm-mm.
It runs through my mind. Okay, let me look up the source really quick so I don't misquote anything. But basically, we'll get to the sexy part later, guys. Don't worry. I mean, we're getting there.
We're on a rampage.
We're on a rampage. We can't stop this
conscious
madness.
Conscious energy is going right now.
Calm down, self. Too much ninja.
Our first rampage injury.
Yeah. Oh, not funny. Not funny. They say it's funny, but it's not. Okay. So monkey experiments.
The thing that I think is really exciting about trading, and, you know, especially with food and food freedom and abundance, you know, when we really think about our lives, the problem that so many people face today is a problem of a fear of scarcity. You know, we're taught to believe that we have to compete with each other for resources, that everyone's out to get each other. We always want to have the most. We don't think in terms of sharing. We don't think in terms of, you know, what our worth is and what we have and our connection and what we're doing in our lives and how we're connected to our food and our communities, and especially in this country, you know, in America, it's such a hard thing to get that connection. You know, people go to grocery stores to buy food. They don't think about soil and the fact that, you know,
it's nutrient deprived.
Food comes from the ground. Food doesn't come from a package. Food doesn't come from a factory. You know, food can come from your front yard. Food can come from your backyard. Food can be grown with your
on
head,
your porch,
you
on
know?
Your patio,
with
in your
family,
in your kitchen, you on know, in, with the fish tank,
yeah,
like,
truly,
in your bathroom. And no, I'm maybe not in your bathroom.
No, nothing.
Maybe if you don't. Maybe if it's just a shower. I mean, you could grow something in there, right?
And you can grow food anywhere.
You could grow food anywhere.
Seriously.
You could grow food in an RV on top of an RV.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
The real beautiful thing, though, you know, when you think about food, nothing, truly nothing in this world. I realized this the other day when I went to a friend's house to pick fruit off of their trees. They have, you know, they probably have like 10 fruit trees on their property. And this property now has so much fruit that it's just an amazing abundance. You know, it's more than I could possibly take myself. And I really hope that I, you know, and I'm looking into sharing and spreading and making sure that this food gets used, because truly, you know, when we take the effort to create consciousness, to create life, to create, you know, to give back to Mother Earth, to be connected and part of nature, and to take ownership of our lives,
well,
and our food,
it's not being stagnant in the infinity.
Yeah, we create abundance. Abundance is available at all times. Scarcity is only a place that you get stuck in your mind.
And I love that you mentioned that, because they talk about fear a lot from a psychological, physiological, biological experience. Because when you're afraid, you limit your ability to function. You are in flight or fight. It is a thing. This is the case. It is not imaginary, I promise. So if you have this fear, you're inhibited.
Yeah.
Like, open up.
Truly.
It's okay. It's okay to fly, little butterfly.
You know, like, you know, we're talking about, we base everything off of our experiences. When everything we experience is in a box, we're scared of everything. We don't have control of our resources. We don't know. We don't have the knowledge. We're not sharing with our neighbors and communicating properly.
We don't know how to communicate. Okay, we're going to talk about that. So that's where the monkeys. Fear comes in. The monkeys. You want to know where we get our fear? Hey, little monkeys. You want to hear where you get your fear? Okay. The 5 monkey experiment. This comes from... You can find this article on johnstepper.com. It's from October 26th. This guy is a keynote speaker. He was on TED Talks. He talked about the story about 5 monkeys. And maybe you guys have heard about this, but it's an experiment, okay? So there's 5 monkeys in a cage. And high on top of the cage, well beyond the reach of the monkeys, there are a bunch of bananas. And underneath these bananas is a ladder. So these monkeys see them and they want to get them. So one climbs up and he does. And the experimenter sprays him with cold water. Then he sprays all the other monkeys too. Okay? The monkey on the ladder gets off and all 5 sit for a time on the floor, wet, cold, and bewildered. Soon, though, the temptation of the bananas is too great. And another monkey begins to climb the ladder. Again, the experimenter sprays the ambitious monkey with cold water and all the other monkeys as well. When a third monkey tries to climb the ladder, the other monkeys, wanting to avoid the cold spray, pull him off the ladder and beat him. Now, one monkey is removed and a new monkey is introduced to the cage. Spotting the bananas, he naively begins to climb the ladder. The other monkeys pull him off and beat him. Here's where it gets interesting. The experimenter removes a second one of the monkeys, the original ones, and replaces him with a new monkey. Again, the new monkey begins to climb the ladder, and again, the other monkeys pull him off and beat him, including the monkey who had never been sprayed. So, by the end of the experiment, none of the original monkeys were left. And yet, despite none of them ever being experiencing the cold, wet spray, they had all learned never to try and go for the bananas. The metaphor and the lesson that apply are to work and... Wait, what? Oh, this is being compared to work habits. Never mind, this article went in a whole other direction. The point is... Oh, dear. The point is we're monkeys. Think of the system we exist in.
Yeah.
Like, these ideals. All day, you want to see what I wrote in my journal today? This is what I've been pondering. Okay, these are the things going through my mind. As I'm consciously trying to attract my higher self and be in my moment. So, you can only share what you have, right? So, what are you working towards? Are people growing together or are they growing apart? What are we taught? Whose culture are we living? What is my culture? You know what I mean? In our culture, we have these systematic, consumerism-driven holidays? Holidays? What are these things? These days of holy? Why are only these days holy? And why do I have to buy shit on these days? Excuse my language, but explain that to me. Because I can't comprehend it rationally,
you know,
or consciously,
what?
Or physically, or any other way that is possible.
It's really funny that you talk about culture, because I, you know, culture and thinking about culture in today's society and what, you know, especially as an American, you know, for me.
Yeah. What is our culture? Buying stuff? Oh my God, look at me. I'm so sexy. Oh, look at me. I got this. I drive fast. Meow, meow, meow. I don't know.
What's our culture, dude? What's amazing is that, well, that is our culture. Our culture is cultural genocide, you know? Our culture is the elimination of culture. Our culture is things. It's materialism. It's being stuck to what's around you and being attached to these thoughts that play in your head all the time and not being allowed to be a human being, to be expanding, you know, to have functional, loving relationships. It's to always be afraid and to, you know, and to feel disconnected. That, you know, as for us, you know, for me especially, so this is what I've been thinking a lot. You know, I think about my life and who I am, and you know, I'm a young Caucasian woman, like, I'm 23 years old, you know, my mom's, the most part, so my pizza background, you know, I'm a quarter Scottish, and beyond that, I'm mostly a European mutt, you know, I have a little bit of, maybe, like, Cherokee in there, but I don't, you know, I don't have a very, I'm a child, you know, I'm a child of the American culture, really.
Same,
you know,
same.
I never grew up with special holidays. I never grew up learning another language, mm-hmm. you know, like
stuffing,
my food, you know,
process.
my connection with food was the connection to the
drive
main through brand or yeah, you know,
programming
the fast
food
menu.
In
oh,
my mind.
TVs and movies were my life. I just threw away movie ticket stubs that I've had a collection of them for over 10, 15 years, and
they had emotional attachment to them, right?
Hundreds. I worked at a movie theater for 7 years, you know, when I was 14 years old. You know, that, you know, it's funny.
Wow, that was so your life.
My life. My life has always been, you know,
culture around
distracted.
Movies.
Distraction, truly. You know, what is my culture? Like, what would I celebrate on, you know, on Christmas Day and stuff like that? You know, I've always hated Christmas because I've always hated the idea. It always brought me so much stress.
Me too, because where do I fit into this?
You know, I felt this obligation to buy things for people, and I've never enjoyed buying stuff. Like, I've never been a materialistic person. For me, I always enjoyed spending extra money on a gift for somebody for a special occasion, to go take them to an amazing concert or to go take them to this amazing, you know, event or something going on where we could create an experience together. You know,
I've never
been somebody to want to just buy you a thing, you know, and that's so hard in a culture where, you know, that's what people depend on.
And we go into debt, buying other people crap they don't need, buying ourselves crap we don't need.
You know, truly, what is our culture now even? You know,
debt.
Americans, you know, Americans being thankful that gas prices have decreased from, you know, where they're up around $4 to now they're around $2.50. And oh my goodness, how thankful we are that our gas prices are going down. You know, not questioning it at all that, you know, in foreign countries, you know, people are being killed every day over these oil issues, and, you know,
we don't think about how we think we're on a ding island or a foreign planet. Like, America is connected to the rest of the world, you know.
So
it really, really is.
Truly. And to go back to this experiment, like you're talking about, you know, the reason why this is so relevant is because, you know, our society treats us like we're monkeys. They act like they are the scientists, they hold the bananas, they have all the power. They feel like they are the hand that feeds us, and we have to comply with everything that happens and says and goes, you know? We have to have a money system because we have to, you know, we have to do these things, and we have to still have oil,
well,
you know? But
think about where they were established, too. Well, I want to get there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Finish, though, first. I apologize.
Well, you know, the thing that's funny is that, you know, truly what it is us as human beings, that cage is a cage truly wrapped around our heads,
mm-hmm.
that the key sits and dangles in front of us,
mm-hmm.
where at any moment we have the ability to take that cage off of our head, you know,
mm-hmm.
and take those bananas and
mm-hmm.
harness ourselves and harness our conscious power and, you know, we can have food freedom, we can grow our own food, we can have connections with human beings and, you know, have work trades and do these things outside of a conformed system,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have this power. We're human.
Yeah, I don't need the government to tell me how to have an exchange with someone I care about.
Right.
I don't need
know?
The government telling me when to go to the doctor or when to take drugs or what I should be putting in my body. Or
that I'm only allowed to have access to oil that was stolen from a foreign country, and I'm not allowed to have, you know, access to biodiesel or access to hemp technology or any of these other renewable sources, these things that exist, mm-hmm. you know, outside of this ridiculous society,
system.
You know, but no, they want people to be trapped, you know, but the truth is we trap ourselves. Like, in these relationships, you know, we choose whether we allow our energy to become toxic energy, to be, you know, to conform to status quo energy, to put ourselves in a box and to stop asking questions, you know, to stop seeing, well, you know, what do I have control of in my life? You know, where do I make the sacrifices? And where are the, you know, where am I making sacrifices in my soul? And what can I do, you know, to reconnect with that? Because when we do that, we take all of our power back. We don't have to continue being in toxic relationships and in toxic cycles. We can end that because we can see outside of that box. You know, that's the key. That's the key that dangles in front of us.
It's true. It's your perception.
Like, it is.
My mantra, I figured out a long time ago that if I could change my perception at will, which I can, that I could alter my world.
Your perception is your reality.
And it blew my dang mind. Yeah. it blew the lid off, like, a lot. Like, a lot. Yeah. So, that's my message, always. Always, in the background of all this chatter and all this ranting, that's the key. That's always the key, is that if you change your perception, you can alter your world. And that's hard for me to swallow. You know why? Because,
I'm sorry, dear.
As a human having experience, this experience causes chemical reactions within me that set off a chain reaction of hormones and emotions and feelers. And those chemicals result in this experience of reality that is so personal. And it truly is subjective. That what you feel is subjective. It's true to yourself. And I have a hard time feeling so many things and then computing them into this mold. Like, we spoke of language earlier. Like, I don't feel like this language that I'm speaking to you is natural to me. Like,
right.
These sounds. These sounds that I'm making, they're just weird. Like, I want to sing. We should sing to each other all the time.
Right.
Fuck talking. I want to sing. No, seriously, we just sing. We'll just sing the whole show. But my point is that the energy you create is so valid. I tell people all the time, I don't give a crank what you tell me. It's how you tell me. You know what I mean? Like, your tone.
Yeah, your reflection.
The way you are feeling in your soul when you say something really, really matters. Like, people can feel your intention. So, choose your words from your heart, literally. Like, you should speak your heart. And your mind should be there just to help you keep the balance within the infinity. You know what I mean? Just to help you flow through it.
I feel like something that people do, so many people trap themselves into believing that their identity is the thoughts that are constantly running through your mind.
That's not who you are. That chatter.
It's not.
No, I mean,
it's not.
It can be if you let it. Like,
there's always a voice in the back of your mind, but you have to quiet your mind to hear the voice that really speaks. And like you're saying, that's the voice that speaks through your heart. You know?
Well, the universe, we're all a part of it. And, like, to speak of synonyms, like, so many people have said this in so many other beautiful manners, like, everything is kinetic. And I will always tell you this as well, since day one I've been saying that. It's just, what do you do with it? You know what I mean? Like, here's a cool perception. You've heard people say namaste. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I honor the you and the me and you, you know? Mm-hmm. It's very liberating to think of everybody you meet as another you.
Absolutely.
Everybody I meet, I'm like, ooh, look at that old man version of me. Oh, I'm such, look at that cute little version of me. Oh my gosh, I really need to work on my glutes in this version of me, or whatever the case. Like, ooh, that's a sexy me, or not so sexy or whatever. Just see people as you. You would
the conscious being.
You will be so much kinder. You will be so much calmer. You will be a being, and it is quite lovely. So I've been pondering these things because I've attracted some very interesting experiences in my life lately. Mostly encounters that I find draining, like just freaking somebody plugged into me and was like, but I felt like a ding hookah. You know, hookahs have lots of hoses.
Yeah.
I felt like I was just like, like being siphoned.
The stem that everyone
yes, was everybody, out of. Everybody had a little hose in me, man. Lovely as that sounds, it wasn't.
They're all blown smoke.
They were blown smoke, man. Wasn't as awesome as I would hope that to. Like, when I ever imagined myself saying that, I thought it would be much sexier, but it just wasn't.
It's draining.
It was draining, man.
Yeah, hookah takes a lot out of you.
Energetic hookah. Yeah. No bueno. No
seriously,
bueno.
Seriously, energy suckers, they take a lot out of you.
They do.
Yeah.
And I realized, you know, I had this newly singleness brings forth a lot of.
You've had a lot of transition in your life.
Yeah.
And a lot of transition in relationships.
I live in a different place. I have a new roommate. I have new everything. Seriously, it's like.
Yeah, newly single.
I popped into another dimension. Like, yeah. I'm not even in your dimension anymore. That's how it feels, you know? My point is that we can create these beautiful relationships that are not stigmatic, that are based on principles from cultures that have existed a long, long time before we have. And I want to share with you this idea of tantric sex because it's super interesting. My personal human experience is that I associate sex and love. To me, as an American, they're much the same. When right. somebody's in love, they have to have sex.
Right. And we don't really know how to.
We don't. Yeah. And there are usually two kinds of people that I experience in our culture. Please, I dislike. I don't even like using that word. I dislike the idea of generalizing. Mm-hmm. But in this case, I'll put people in groups. Okay. We have a few different types of groups of people in regards to their position on premarital sex. You have someone who's either, for religious reasons, they're just abstaining, or, in my experience, there are people who just are not practicing that and just do it. Right. And it's like just a normal thing. You know, people are just doing it. And I have mixed feelings on this because like, as of now, I realize the value of having an energetic experience that is more than just poking and momentary pleasure.
Absolutely.
There's so much more going on than that brief moment of pleasure. Like, you're sharing such an intimate part of your body with somebody. Mm-hmm. And, like, spiritually,
you're activating a chakra.
You're activating all the chakras. You are getting chakra.
You are getting chakra.
Like, so good. Like,
yeah.
It's happening. Like, you. Sorry, hold on. We're gonna. We need to turn off the lights. Sorry, guys. We gotta go. We gotta go. No. Mm-hmm. So, this publication's by an individual named Kavita Ray. Tantric Sex, A Path to Sexual Bliss. It's a huge publication. We're going to work our way through some of the aspects of it and discuss a little bit about how to cultivate a relationship based on principle other than just being physical. Like, I want to introduce to you the notion of creating a sacred relationship with somebody that's based on things other than just touch.
Right.
So, let's see here. Where to begin? So, it's an ancient Indian practice that is still relevant. It celebrates the body and sexuality, teaching that the sexual act epitomizes your divine nature and can lead to enlightenment. Tantric sex can bring vitality and intimacy into your relationship. So, what is Tantra? It was developed over 5,000 years ago. It's a way of life that promotes the idea that sexuality, spirituality, and the emotions are all interconnected. Imagine that. Central to Tantra is the belief that the human body should be celebrated and honored as a source of sensual pleasure, as well as for its role in divine enlightenment. This is thought to occur... This is thought to occur at the perfect union of opposites, such as the male and female. And that's just one instance of opposites. Let's see. This is where I identify a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting enough, like all these notions that I have within me mm-hmm. have come to me organically.
Right.
By being. All of these things within me, people go, oh, who taught you that? And I go, what do you mean? Like, this tantric path teaches you that everything that occurs in life is a gift from which you can learn. The word tantra has many meanings, including the way and transformation. As you move through this book, you will go on your own journey, and your partner is a mirror to you who journeys alongside you on this experience.
Right.
That's an interesting concept. Like, what if you remove the ideals of your culture and think of yourself as an energetic being who's experiencing this experience to grow and learn and become the best possible it?
Right.
What if every day you're supposed to have a little mental defrag and go, okay, this happened. Okay, what does it teach me? Okay, how do I feel about this? Okay, it's okay to feel like that. Okay, what am I gonna do to change that?
Mm-hmm.
Or
what did I learn from this?
What did I learn? How am I going to apply that learned thing to said self?
Yeah,
you gotta do that. If you're constantly just going through this motion, and you don't stop, like, what's the point?
Yeah, you're not taking the time back into being.
You gotta be, man. Be a human being.
Yeah.
So this idea of achieving enlightenment through sex, first and foremost, it encourages you to enjoy sex fully and to cherish your body, to make the most of every moment that you spend with your partner. It's considered to be a fast track to enlightenment. Well, hello, I wish I would have known that. All this time sitting alone quietly, I could have been with somebody else. God, what a waste of my time!
Tantric sex with your twin flame.
Oh, dear, you would say twin flame, wouldn't you? We should talk about that another time.
Another time.
A whole other thingy, man.
You know, just with somebody that you're spiritually connected with, truly.
Here's the thing.
Finding that person.
Here's the thing. Like, I've tried to have tantric sex with people, and they cannot be real enough. These men that I've tried to be, like, so rawly real,
yeah,
they cannot handle it.
Well, that's the thing.
It scares them.
Yeah.
They're absolutely. Just like, whoa. Like, people don't understand, like, your cells throw light at each other. You're a holograph. Like, you are condensed stuff that moves really, really fast. That's amazing. Like, your being projects 15 feet of energy outward. So imagine if you're in a room with people,
that's just in your immediate surroundings.
Yeah, you know, like,
it ripples out all the way.
Imagine, like, what could you create with somebody if you wanted to cultivate this beautiful, sacred union?
Yeah.
And there are these rituals that people suggest that... Well, this page is moving all by itself. Couples do. So there's a bunch of different types of tantra.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Shiva, tantra yoga, tantric Buddhism, Taoist tantra, Neo tantra. So there's all types of different tantra, if you will.
Yeah, different ways to unlock and unleash and interact, you know, your sex chakra.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the one just above your base chakra. You know, it's It's your you got your root chakra, and then you got your sex chakra, you know, right above it. It's very that's very potent, you know,
grounding energy. Exactly.
Absolutely. You know, and imagine what that sexual experience would be like when you're with another human being, that your chakras are emphasizing the other to a degree that you've never experienced before. You know, what would that orgasm be like with somebody that you're not constantly in your mind thinking about what they're thinking, thinking about what you're thinking?
Yeah, you're
in
just
your
being,
emotion, and you are just
like animalistic
being with this other human. You know, what would that tantric?
I think it sounds like
he really likes you.
I'm just going to purr the rest of the show. I'm just going to purr the rest of the show. Okay. Yeah. Where was I? So, yeah, I'm not going to go into all the rituals because they vary and there's a vast amount of them. So check those out. So tantric lifestyle teaches you to accept and enjoy your body the way it is. Also, that is important to look after your body and to treat it as well as you can. Good food and exercise play an important role. When you eat well and look after your body, you can bring that energy into your meditations. Make healthy choices. Slow down. Savor. Enjoy your food. This is an important part of awakening your senses. I eat so slow, it's outrageous. But I enjoy every bite. Every bite is like sex for me. I'm like,
Foodgasm.
Yeah, it's like, take my time, make it last, make it awesome. So, let's see. Rituals are important because they allow people to connect to each other and to create this secret space and awareness and to generate this feeling of reverence between lovers and to create the distinction between intercourse and tantric lovemaking. So, you set your intention. Like, when you want to have this sacred lovemaking, you sit down together, you acknowledge each other's existence.
Mm-hmm.
You, like, adore each other. You tell each other beautiful things, like, and you mean it. It's not like, hey, baby, I'm going to plug me in you, you know, or like, oh, yeah, stick it in my butt. It's nothing like that. It's like, you're sitting together, and this is why guys can't be serious. Like, you're sitting together, and you're, like, gazing in each other's eyes, and you're like, I love you so much that every 30 trillion of my cells right now are dancing with eagerness to just be inside of you. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you say something like you mean it, like, and people are just like, ooh. But the point is that...
Yeah, I want someone to say that to me. Okay.
It's like, I'm going to periodically do you on a table. You know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna split you like an atom, baby. Like, different things. Like, they have different intentions, right?
So funny, yeah.
I can go on for days. I got so many pickup lines.
So many
lines. I don't ever tell them to anybody. I'll just tell these people because they can't say anything back. Unless they call me, then... Just kidding. Not my intentions. That's not the energy I want to create. The point is that it's easy to have this type of interaction where you just... Boing, thank you.
It's easy to jump into sex.
It's so easy.
And we're taught to do that.
You gotta build a foundation. It's so important. Like, it's like buying a piece of land and then putting a roof on it.
Yeah.
And you're like, cool, I got this roof. All this stuff leaks though,
exactly.
And I got nowhere to sleep.
You don't build a house from roof down.
Yeah, you gotta build your foundation. And I'm the older I get and the smarter I get, the more defrags that I have, the more mental defrags that occur.
Yeah.
I'm just cataloging these experiences, and it's so relevant to me now, the importance of sharing that sacred space of just acknowledging existence. Before you even touch somebody, like, when you are around somebody that you're attracted to and they respect you and they listen to you and you are on their level, you don't even need to touch each other. Yeah. I've experienced that before where I'm just, like, been trapped in this experience with somebody where we can't touch each other. It's just, it could never happen that way.
Yeah.
I don't need to. I don't even need to, like... I could feel him just thinking about him. Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to. I could just. I'm good. You know what I mean? And that's precious to me to such an extent that I don't know if I even want to be touched. Like, if I can have that type of experience with my mind without even sharing space with anybody but myself, I question, like, the true value and necessity to cultivate that with somebody unless there's that shared sacredness.
Well, exactly.
You know, like, why it's, do it if why,
the sacredness isn't there?
Why waste my energy?
Yeah.
Why waste your energy?
Why waste sacred energy?
It's so sacred.
You are
so
sacred. You're a holy temple.
So, sacred relationship. What is a sacred relationship? Yeah. We could talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, with a sacred relationship, you know, I just think it's so important that before you build a sacred relationship with anyone else, you know, before you're able to have a tantric relationship with someone else, you know, how do you create that? You create that from within. Where's the true foundation? It's from within yourself, you know. When you are living in your truth and living in your best self, that's when those people come to you. The universe presents
it's true.
You with these people.
It's true. It's so true.
You find your soulmate, you know, you find your
well, I think that
your tantric partners.
The term soulmate, like, I think that we have many soulmates. Like,
I agree.
You're a soul sister. I could call you that. Like,
I think soulmates travel.
Yeah.
And they bump into each other constantly.
I mean, it's all relevant, right? Einstein.
It all depends on your life and your existence.
It's all relevant. Mm-hmm. It really is. Thank you, Einstein, for telling us that. It is so, though. It really is. And I just encourage people always to just be aware of what you're creating as a being, and what types of relationships do you have and do you cultivate? What are you growing, you know? Where are you in this whirlwind of infinity? Like, imagine that our existence is just an infinity symbol, you know? And are you going with the flow? Are you floating? Are you balanced in the middle? Are you at equilibrium, observing both sides simultaneously? What's going on with you? You know, where are you in that flow? And, like, how do other people reflect your flow? It's something I ponder all the time. Constantly.
Mm-hmm. You have to learn.
It's true. This is life school, man.
Yeah,
life school. Life equals school.
Yeah.
It does. It really, really does. And just be the most awesome you every day.
Experience equals knowledge.
Experience equals knowledge. Knowledge equals power. So life equals power.
Yeah.
It does. That was an equation. That was a life equation. It's called 1-2-3 apple tree. I made it up. Write it down. It's important. It's in a language so advanced, I haven't even invented it yet until just right now.
Hmm.
Just kidding. I invented it like a year ago. Anyways, the point is that perhaps you should consider, like, the type of sexual experiences you're having. Like, we all like sex. I certainly need at least 4 orgasms a day.
Oh.
That hasn't happened in months, though. I've got to tell you, I went from being, like, super grumpy girl if it didn't happen every day, even solo. Like, I was just like, this is part of my day. This needs to happen. Hmm. To not at all. To, oh my gosh, I'm going to break stuff. To, oh, I'm so busy, I don't even have time to think about it. To, oh my God, I'm going to hop everything. To, calm down, it's okay. Like, now I'm to a point where I'm just like, I don't want that. I feel it's intrusive to be penetrated. Like, I don't want anybody in there.
There's a distraction there.
I'm just saying, like, it's a time for being.
Yeah.
And I am open to listening to my being. You know what I mean? Like, some people, when they're stuck in a ponderance, they seek to fill a void with that physicality because that's what they associate with love. And I encourage them not to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Physical lust is a lot different than emotional love.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And I think that a lot of the things that occur in our society are occur because there's no differentiation between the two. And people don't have this connection to self, and they don't think of themselves as needing to be a whole before finding another. Right. They're just like, oh, I'm half of something. I need to find my other half.
Yeah, or recognizing that when we're interested in only having a sexual relationship and we don't want to commit ourselves in other ways or to be wholehearted, you know, in other ways, we have to see that that's not being true to ourselves, you know, that when we do that, we're hiding from something that we're afraid of. You know, there's a piece of self-love missing when we can't be, you know, giving of our complete love, you know. When you don't have something, you can't give it. If you don't have complete self-love, you can't give complete self-love.
It's true.
And that's how you create toxic relationships. Because you create a relationship where this other person, you know, you're invested in, you know, creating this relationship with this other person to fulfill your needs. When your needs come from, they get fulfilled from within yourself. And then when you do that, you can fulfill the needs of others.
It's true.
Yeah. You know, you can't, that's why so many people hear about things like tantric sex. And we hear about, you know, we hear about these things that, you know, our minds act like it's new and it's this crazy, ridiculous thing not to, you know, believe or think about
because
we've never experienced it. And in the back of our heads, in the back of our heart, you know, our minds, our hearts speaking, and our heart, you know, tells you it sounds familiar and it sounds cool and interesting and it sounds foreign and mystic. And but, you know, so many people don't get that and don't receive that in their relationships today. You know, we don't truly receive intimacy, and so many people in this country and in this world don't receive what true love is because we're not taught how to create true love within ourselves. We're taught how to constantly search for things. We're constantly searching for material love. We're constantly searching for distracted love. You know, we want to watch TV and be bonded with other humans because we watch the same TV shows. But we don't want to ask questions
and
about...
And we gather to poison ourselves collectively.
Right.
We celebrate our collective poisoning.
Right.
And we do it with joy. And we do it with happiness. That's so sad.
Thank you for all of it. You know, a day like Christmas, thank you for these gifts that were made in a sweatshop somewhere, you know, in a foreign country where the labor was, you know, because a company
is
making
it. Even though we don't talk any
all
of the time.
All this ridiculous packaging we're
using. Let's buy each other all this crud and wrap it in all kinds of packages.
Yep. And then let's have this feast of this
indulgence, sugar.
Sugar,
covered in sugar.
Yeah, sugar and enriched bread and, you know, who knows what kind of antibiotics and things are put in the meat that we're eating, you know, and all of this.
Chemical.
And I can't tell you how many family dinners I've been to, how many conversations I've been to at parties, and I ask myself, what is my culture? And my culture is when I go to baby showers, when I go to Thanksgiving, when I go to Christmas dinners, when I go to these American functions, and I speak with these people, and all we and I get TV shows and chatter and distraction.
You know what my culture is? My culture is cats. Mm. You want to know why I worship cats?
Why
I'm gathering love cats? Because cats means communities advocating or communities actively working towards sustainability. Communities advocating towards sustainability. Cats.
Cats.
And we say meow because meow means mass energy optimal wellness, and that's what we're cultivating. So every time you hear me say meow, I'm creating an intention of cultivating a community advocating towards sustainability. I'm going to create a new language, damn it. I'm just going to freaking purr.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn into a cat.
Bringing a purr back.
But seriously, cats, man. It's all about cats. Yo, just gather the cats. We're hurting cats. Gather the cats. Next show is all about food and how to build a community via food. Love you guys. See you on Monday.
Bye. Go.
I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo, stereo.